good luck with it. Good luck with your sequel cast.
Everybody across the land, here's a special from Sequel Cast, though I don't know what it's gonna be about. Maybe Woody Allen, maybe Spike Lee.
Jersey Jason here. Sorry I couldn't be with you for our 10th anniversary podcast. It's been a crazy couple of years. I've been super busy with my job, trying to make that money. I've also got a new side project. I'm doing another podcast, called The Squeakle Cast. That's where I discuss Alvin and the Chipmunks, The Squeakle, line by line. If you guys enjoy Star Wars Minute, you'll enjoy this new podcast. Let's listen to it here. Now, if you remember from last episode, Ian Hawke, played by David Cross, says this.
In your face!
To which Alvin responds.
Oh, it is on like Donkey Kong.
Oh, Alvin, it sure is. So, that's what I've been doing with my life. I just want to wish all of you guys a happy new year. More years of sequel cast to come. Hopefully, I'll be able to get on and talk about some sequel with you guys, and you are always welcome to come onto my podcast and talk about The Squeakle, one of the best sequels to a great movie. Happy New Year and happy holidays.
Hello and welcome to the Sequel Cast Special. The Sequel Cast Special is a podcast looking at whatever the hell we damn well please. I'm Matt. With me is Thrasher.
Hello, everybody. A happy 5 years to you. We're halfway there.
Yeah, we do one of these a year. It's been 5 years, the Sequel Cast. We started in roughly November, or no, I think it was even October. Let me go to the website and look. In late 2009, at any rate. So, just to see how far we've come and all the different spinoff shows and everything we've done, it's been well over 200 episodes, and I think if you do the math, it's probably closer to 250 shows.
Yeah, with all the specials and whatnot.
With all the specials and video game shows and everything.
And it really is an accident of history that this five-year anniversary special isn't episode 200.
Well, it's not episode 200, but...
Oh, very, very true. I mean, the normal number sequence we save for the actual episodes where we discuss specific movies. The specials are kind of an Earth 2... Elseworlds sort of thing.
That's right. That's absolutely right. I'm looking to get the full count as of this recording on December 17th, 2014. You know, we just recorded the Santa Claus 3 show. So we've done 202 episodes of the main show, the Sequel Cast. Including this one, it'll be 36 episodes of Sequel Cast Special, 20 episodes of Sequel Commentary.
Now, does that include the unreleased commentary that I just did?
Yes.
Mm.
And 20 video game sequel cast and 3 video game sequel cast special. So that's over 250 episodes.
Dang.
We've done. But this anniversary show, we're mainly going to be looking really quickly at all the movies we've done. I made a list on our Facebook page at facebook.com/sequelcast. Don't worry, listeners. I'm unzipping my jacket, not my pants.
And that is over 10 straight days of content if you were to marathon the Sequel Cast.
That's insane. I can't even fathom that. But I'm sure there's listeners that would do that. But yeah, we just got a tweet from friend of the show, Ryan Haas, from the Super Mario Brothers the Movie website, the archive website. And he says... Fantastic. Hope the next 5 years are just as good.
I think they will be, if not better.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many fucking franchises out there.
Oh, especially now.
So let's go over the films we've covered, the series we've covered in alphabetical orders, and just sort of do like a quick word association. So this isn't the order in which the episodes were released, but alphabetical, I think, is easier to manage.
Absolutely.
And let's say, each say which one of which film is our favorite out of each of the series, and then just some brief thoughts on the episodes. So, Airplane.
Oh, that was so fun to do.
Especially right after doing the airport films. I really appreciated Airplane all the more.
It was a good palate cleanser. It was great seeing the movies that they were specifically satirizing. And they're just fun movies that still hold up.
It's pretty unusual to see us do a series of movies that only has two movies in it. But Airplane is one of those.
Yes.
Airport, which was suggested on Twitter by West Anthony, who used to host a podcast, The ArturCast.
That was fun in a totally different way, because it's a series I had never seen but had constantly heard about. I've still got that DVD box set. I keep debating about whether or not I want to keep it, sell it, or use it as like a prize for a contest.
That would make a pretty amusing prize, I have to say. You know, I went to a Christmas party last year, and the gift we put in the Secret Santa pile was a triple set of Nicolas Cage films.
Ooh.
And people were getting into fights over it.
Over who was going to get stuck with it? Or do they want it?
They wanted it.
Oh, that's cool.
Someone opened it, and then everyone said, oh, I want it. And people kind of traded their Secret Santa stuff to get the Nicolas Cage set, which I think had Face Off, World Trade Center, and Snake Eyes, I think, was the third one. So the next one, the Aladdin animated trilogy.
That was another interesting one, if only because of the varying qualities of the sequels. But it just reminds me, we don't do enough animated series in the sequel cast. I wish we made a point of doing more of those.
We should try that for the next year, to do more animated series. It's yeah, because there's so much great animation out there that I think our listeners would love to hear us talk about. And really, aside from those Aladdin episodes and then the animated Hobbit ones we talk about later on, that's pretty much all we've done. You can throw Muppets in there, which isn't animated, but the same sort of kids movie thing.
Well, not conventional live action, at least.
Right. Oh, one thing we neglected to do, we need to go back and do this real quick. What was your favorite of the Airplane films?
Overall, as near and dear as Airplane 2, the sequel, is to my heart, it's the original Airplane.
I agree. Like, practically flawless. It gets funnier every time I watch it. Airport. My favorite from this series would be Airport, I think it's 77. That's the one where they're underwater.
Yeah, my favorite, I mean, the first one is the best, but I love how just balls out crazy the one where they're underwater is.
Yeah, it's such a ludicrous premise. The Aladdin animated trilogy, I think obviously the first one is the best one here.
Yeah, overall top quality.
The next one was a bit of a stretch, but I think it counts. It's the Aldous Snow duology, where the character of Aldous Snow, played by Russell Brand, was in Forgetting Sarah Marshall, and then he had his own spinoff movie, Get Him to the Greek.
That was another fun one, because they were, because we've had, like, the Hobbit trilogy, we've had sequels united by source material and by theme. It was so refreshing to be doing a series of movies united by a character. And I love that we got two very different movies.
The soundtrack of Get Him to the Greek is pretty fantastic. It's a lot of full versions of songs you heard in the film. Yeah, with just a lot of energy and real clever lyrics.
Oh, yeah.
I think Forgetting Sarah Marshall is a better movie, but Get Him to the Greek is funnier.
It is my favorite. It's the most entertaining, and I just love the way that it talked about pop music and the rock and roll lifestyle.
But one of the numbers was Ring Around the Rosie, right?
Oh yeah, where it's all it's all sort of metaphorical about the buttocks, and then at the end there's just the final line of the song just removes all the subtext.
Next series we covered was Anne Rice's Vampire Chronicles, which is only two films, Interview with the Vampire, and then several years later, Queen of the Damned.
Yes. And
I enjoy these books, and I think the movies are fun for different reasons.
Yeah, the Interview with the Vampire was wonderful. It is still one of my favorite vampire movies. I have not read the book to compare the two, but and Queen of the Damned, it was okay. It was kind of tacked on, but I think we're still better off having that movie than not having that movie.
I'm a bit surprised they haven't done more of the movies from that book series over the years.
It is shocking.
You think with Twilight stuff taking off, they would have tried to rush another movie into production. They've apparently been working on something and recently got a script that Anne Rice's son wrote based on, was it The Body Thief, I think. So, who knows? There's plenty of the books out there. Anne Rice just came out with a new one called Prince Lestat. So, I think we haven't seen the last of Lestat in the movies.
I'm kind of shocked that book series hasn't been turned into a television series, kind of like Game of
Thrones. Make a lot more sense, frankly. Right. Next, Back to the Future. This series of films was special because we did it after my Cascadia.fm stint.
Yes, after the Interbellum.
The Interbellum, as you say, right. And where you got to be on the show again, and that was a thrill. And we got...
I like that so
I think
much.
That's still one of our most downloaded episodes, is that first Back to the Future, with the fun little intro we recorded.
Yeah, and it's just a great trilogy. It's very rare that we do a series of movies where every movie in the series is great in some way.
Right. I think watching it again, I forget how nutty Back to the Future 2 is.
Yeah.
It's rare you get a time travel sequel that really plays up all these alternate timelines and everything. Such a strange film. I would say the original Back to the Future is my favorite, but the more I see Back to the Future 3, the more I warm up for it, for just sort of being more a very laid-back sequel after the frenetic Back to the Future 2.
Well, it's also just for if you like movies and you like spaghetti westerns, there's just so many little treats in there for you.
Oh, Vampire Chronicles, I don't think I said. Interview with the Vampire is my favorite.
Oh, yes.
I think you were a fool to choose something else. What's your favorite Back to the Future?
I'm going to have to say the first one simply because it's so difficult for me to pick between 2 and 3. Although 3 is so fun.
It is. The next one is one I did on Cascadia.fm with Sabrina, Basic Instinct. Two films.
And I have not seen either of them.
Wow, really? No. The first works as a legitimate murder mystery, and the second one, for the R-rated version, they kind of hobbled it at the knees, but even then, like, it's not as clever as it wants you to think it is. But I think you would have a fun night with your wife watching the original Basic Instinct if you're in the right mood for it.
It's not like you were on the verge of saying lady friend.
I might have, because I think that's what I called her when you first started dating and we first started doing the show. But lady friend is, it's graduated to something more, obviously.
Indeed.
Because now you're married. So, next, Batman, the movies from 89 to 96. And we talked a bit about the cartoon series as well.
Yeah, that was another fun one. Despite
Definitely.
The varying quality.
Yeah, and we had, Tyler Smith, the Battleship Retention, on as a guest. This was way before we were part of the Battleship Retention podcast fleet.
But seeds were planted during this series.
Yes. And he came on to talk about the animated series. And one of the other episodes, I forget which. Might have been Batman Returns. Don't remember. No, I think it just was the 89 Batman was the one he was on. Yeah, these movies are weird to rewatch. And yet, I still think... kind of fun. Batman Forever is watchable in its own weird sort of way, in a way that Batman and Robin isn't, which is really painful. But I think Batman Returns might be my favorite out of this batch of Batman films.
I think it is as well. I like the interpretation of the Penguin. I love Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman. I think what makes Batman and strangely enough, I find Batman and Robin a bit more watchable than Batman Forever, if only because it is so out there with the camp that I just kind of let it wash over me.
the super cut of all the Mr. Freeze puns is pretty great.
Allow me to break the ice.
I will see you in hell. Revenge is a dish best served cold.
What killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age.
That just doesn't make any sense. Next, Beverly Hills Cop. I mean, this was the first series we did on the sequel cast. Although I don't think you were on the show by this point.
No, actually,
Jason,
I was not on any of these three episodes. Although they're very good episodes, and it's so interesting to see how quickly the show took shape. Because, like, as I recall, the second episode, the recording didn't go properly, and so the episode
you
recorded with Jersey Jason, you ended up re-recording with just yourself.
Yes, and I had a cold and was sneezing the whole time. And I did it on a laptop in my bed. It was you're right. And we didn't have segments of the show really at that point either.
Yeah, the only thing, and although that did have something that we have lost touch with in recent years, which was having samples from the soundtrack. That bit where you intercut the Neutron dance for the first episode is quite good.
Well, thanks.
I'm doing the Neutron dance.
I've listened a bit to the soundtrack of Beverly Hills Cop 2, and that one doesn't have a bad soundtrack either. But the first Beverly Hills Cop is a real comedy classic. The third is just pathetic and lazy and awful.
Although
but
that's also
watch the first
the early
one.
Days of the sequel commentaries when we did a sequel commentary for Beverly Hills Cop.
Beverly
3.
Hills Cop. I think that was the first sequel commentary we did. You're right.
Yeah, that was back when we had the idea that we would only do commentaries for franchise killers.
What was your favorite of the Beverly Hills Cop?
I mean, overall, the first one is the best. The third one could have been, like, I feel like I should like the third one better because it ties into animation and theme parks and stuff like that, and George Lucas is in it for some reason. But it just, the bad, and it has the Jerry Lewis song at the end, but it's just, everything else drags it down so much. I really can't enjoy it fully.
We got a lot more of these to bust through. Bill and Ted, which was just another duology of Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure and Bogus Journey.
For the longest time, that was my favorite two episodes.
Really? We had a guest on there.
Yes, from the ultimate Bill, from the woman who headed up the Bill and Ted fan club.
What made those your favorites for a time?
Well, because those movies are so near and dear to me, and we all just got to talk about those movies as fans. They were so fun to rewatch. It's one of those things where, like, so often when I watch a movie or TV show from my childhood, I find that it doesn't hold up. But when I rewatched both Bill and Ted movies, it made me realize how good those films really are, and I got so much more out of them than when I watched them as a child.
That was Linda Kay we had on as a guest.
And she was awesome. I'd love to get her back on the show again. That's part of the reason why I hope this third Bill and Ted movie becomes a reality.
Definitely. You know, we never have covered on the sequel cast what happens when new movies come out in a series we've already talked about.
Very true.
But I'm not sure how we'd handle that, because we have that sequential numbering.
Because sometimes we get lucky, like with Men in Black. The new Men in Black movie came out around the time we were planning on doing that series, so we were able to pop it right in.
Right. But all right, the next one was another Cascadia.fm, the Bourne Identity trilogy.
That's another series I've never seen.
They're pretty good. I mean, it's pretty straight-up action. The plot is, and dialogue is, kind of minimalist, but the first one's really good, and I like the third one, the second one less so. But again, this seems to be a running theme here. The first is the best, but it's true with a lot of the first movie always has that freshness of it's something new, and then the sequel, the real challenge is, well, how do you repeat it with familiar enough elements where it feels like a part of the, it reminds you of the first film, but it's not an outright copy. I think that's the real challenge there. Caddyshack was another early show we did.
Yeah, that was actually I believe that was the first episode I was ever on was Caddyshack. No, the first episode I was on was Smokey the Bandit 2. But yeah, Caddyshack 2 was the second episode I was on.
Caddyshack 2, like Beverly Hills Cop 3, what a lazy, sloppy sequel. Although I think Caddyshack 2 is marginally better.
At least it has Jackie Mason. You don't see enough of him.
Right. That original Caddyshack, though, I know people that have watched it every year since it's come out. It's a true classic. The next one, these are our least downloaded episodes, the Chinatown duology
with
of Chinatown. Yeah, Chinatown and the Two Jakes. I think they're a bit too old for our listeners to know what they are. But also, I mean, the Two Jakes episode, we must have been high or something, because we did it most of the episode in an awful Jack Nicholson impersonation.
And I think that was in part because we just had so little to talk about, because there's not that much going on in the movie. And, like, those are also two movies where you really can't watch them. You have to study them. And we just did not have the time to truly study them before the episode. So the whole time we're talking like this.
That's right, Pally. Next, Dark Knight Trilogy. So the more recent three Batman films. Batman Begins, Dark Knight Rises. Batman Begins, I liked a good bit more watching it again for the series of episodes. I think that might be my favorite, even though The Dark Knight has really good Joker stuff, but I think it's just too...
It's too long.
...long of a film. I think I would have rather seen Two-Face as a separate picture.
Indeed. He would have been a good opener to the second film. Well, both films are actually really, really packed.
Yeah, that's true.
I'd say both. I mean, all three.
Next, we did Die Hard. Just talking about the first four films, although now there's five and rumors of a sixth coming on.
This was another series that was very fun to do.
Yeah, that, man, Die Hard with a Vengeance is quite a good film. The third one with Sam Jackson and Jeremy Irons as the bad guy who's threatening them over the phone with riddles.
Oh, yeah.
With the taxi going through Central Park, a lot of good scenes in that one. And the original, of course.
Which is one of my favorite Christmas movies. I've actually been meaning to watch it again this year.
The next one is a series that you talked about wanting to do for a lot. The Gamera trilogy, directed by Shusuke Kaneko.
Yes, this was a delight to do. I love it when we can do a series that you wouldn't expect. And as a kaiju fan in general, and a Gamera fan specifically, I was so happy that we did this series of films.
That first Gamera Guardian of the Galaxy in particular was quite fun.
Oh yeah, it was very good. It's a shame that the third movie just completely fell apart.
Yeah. Next, Ghostbusters, another series with just two films. I said there isn't a lot we did with two films, but that ends up not being the case as we go through this list.
Well, the just, nice thing
about, again, really solid movies.
Well, the nice thing about doing two film series is that when the diminishing returns happen, they're brief.
And at the time, we did episodes about, like, spinoffs, which nowadays I think those would probably be called sequel cast specials.
Indeed.
Remember, we did that for Ghostbusters and Batman, I think.
No, indeed we did.
And maybe one other one. We didn't do it a lot, but we did it a few times, and certainly Ghostbusters is one of those. Yeah, you know, I recently picked up the Ghostbusters 1 and 2 on Blu-ray because they were on clearance at my local store, and they had a nice new interview with Dan Aykroyd and the director, Ivan Reitman. And they give Ernie Hudson a lot of props, which is nice.
Well, he is really good. I mean, he in a lot of ways, and I say this with no irony, he is the soul of that movie.
Well, they said he's the entry-level point to... He's the guy that doesn't know what's going on, and he represents the audience in a way. And that he's, like, just kind of joining in there for a ride, and he's not one of the experts, and he's kind of a disbeliever who ends up believing. He'll say, like, I'll believe anything for the paycheck.
Yeah, if there's a steady paycheck involved.
There's a steady paycheck involved. Next, a bit more highbrow, Godfather trilogy.
Oh, yeah, that was another one, just because of Godfather 3, that was difficult to get through.
I don't think it was difficult, but it's certainly different talking about a film that's so dense and so respected. It's like the two Jakes in that way.
Although we didn't do constant Brando impersonations.
We did not, mainly because I can't really do a good one. I'm going to make you an offer I can't refuse.
I kind of said that.
But yeah, Godfather 3 has some moments, but Godfather 2 is probably my favorite. Next, Gremlins.
Oh, yeah.
Another series of two solid films. I'm really shocked we haven't seen a Gremlins 3 by now.
I am too. It feels like something ripe to be brought back. Although, you know what I would probably rather see than a whole Gremlins sequel. I and I, I I love it when a movie studio releases a short before the main movie. Pixar is really consistent with that, which I like. Disney usually do that more often than it does. I would love it if Warner Brothers, just for every now and then, would do like a Gremlins or Gizmo short before a main feature. Because I think Gremlins would work so well as short subjects. You know, just do them kind of in the style of the old Warner Brothers cartoons.
I mean, why we never got a Gremlins animated series? I mean, that would be a real natural. Part of the appeal is the puppets, but still. Gremlins 2 is probably my favorite of those. Next, Harry Potter. This was a big whopper of a franchise.
Oh, yeah. Is it the longest one we've done with 8 films?
Star Trek was longer.
Oh, that's right. Star Trek was
longer. And Harry Potter was close. I'm not crazy about the movies. I think some of them are good. I'm just kind of mixed on them. But I did it because I hosted a panel at
the Harry Potter
LeakyCon. LeakyCon when it was in Portland.
Which just occurred to me, is that named after the Leaky Cauldron?
It is, yes. So that it was fun to do that panel live with my friends, but the Harry Potter movies aren't my favorite, and it was nice having Jason back on for some of those episodes.
Oh yeah, and it was fun to do. I mean, I did enjoy those movies much more than I thought I would. I still have my criticism with it, but I don't consider that wasted time. And I'm now glad I have those DVDs.
Next, the heavy metal duology.
Oh yeah, those movies really still are very near and dear to my heart. And heavy metal is still part of my comic book diet.
That first heavy metal one held up much better for me watching it now than it did when I was in high school. I just couldn't get into it, but now I really kind of understand it more. It's just a fun series of films. Highlander.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of tricky.
Very much so. I feel like we should do a sequel commentary for Highlander 2 or 3 at some point.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, those are some wacky films. The documentary on the DVD for Highlander 2 is one of the best things I've seen, just because everyone admits that it wasn't a great movie and was very misguided.
I still need to see that. And yet, I love Highlander 2, not so much for what it is, but just because, you want us to do a sequel to this fantasy movie that is so tightly constructed and doesn't leave room for a sequel? Okay, I love a movie that kind of punishes the audience for daring to demand, the audience or the studio for daring to demand a sequel.
Well, and that there's been 3 different cuts of it that try to smooth over the bumps that don't really help that much.
Yeah.
It's just kind of strange. The next one, I have a soft spot in my heart, the animated Hobbit and Lord of the Rings movies.
Yeah, this was a very good trilogy. This is actually... I think I re-listen to these episodes once a year. They're very good episodes, but they also kind of remind me how to be the best sequel cast co-host I can be.
How so?
Well, I feel like they're some of our tightest episodes. I feel like we have some of the best in-depth discussions with each other and with our guests. It's in my mind, they're kind of they're the platonic ideal of sequel cast episodes.
No, Cliff Broadway, who was the guest for the animated Return of the King episode, who's from theonerain.net and was a writer and producer of the Reiners documentary and Lord of the Rings fan, was just great. He knows so much stuff, and he currently does a podcast at theonerain.net that's pretty good. I was listening to him talk about different adaptations of The Hobbit, of all things, recently, so that's pretty fun.
Oh, no.
Next.
As a side note, did you ever see that 1960s Hobbit movie that was made to fulfill a contractual requirement?
I did. Very strange.
Yes.
And trippy and weird. I mean, I'm glad it's there, but... next, Home Alone. There's an episode that we recorded for Home Alone 4 that got lost to the internet gremlins.
Oh, for
good, but I think that's for the best, probably, because I was the only one that had seen that one.
It was
and
so
there wasn't
hard
much to talk
down.
About. So hard to turn down?
To track down.
To track down, that's true. And now, since then, they've done a Home Alone 5 with Malcolm McDowell as one of the robbers.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah, they did.
Now, do you think
that was another
that,
made-for-TV movie? I don't know. I think if... I have to... Maybe I'll throw it out to the audience. I'm trying to figure out how we would do movies filling in the gaps of movies we've covered before.
You know what I think we should do? I think we should do a roundup month. We just do a month where we only
there you go.
Do
That's not a bad idea.
Recent editions that we couldn't do during the regular cycle.
I also was flirting with the idea of doing Thrasher versions of the Cascadia episodes.
Actually, I would like to do that, if only because I really want to do Mad Max and RoboCop with you.
Hmm. That'd be so not to wipe the other ones out of existence, but to have the classic sequel cast flavor.
Yeah, just like we can call it the revised editions or the special editions.
And the new Coke editions. yeah. Or if the other one was new Coke, it'd be more like Coca-Cola Classic.
Yes.
Anyway, that's an idea to put in the hopper.
Or we make it the Mexican Coke edition because that's made with real cane sugar.
Yum, 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 yum. We got quite a lot more to blast through here.
Indeed. Blast me, baby.
Indiana Jones.
Oh, that was
Mitch Halleck, I almost said violently, valiantly, was a guest for 5 straight episodes because we had one on the spinoffs and stuff.
Yeah, that was cool. That was really cool. He was a very good guest. It's nice to have a guest that's both so knowledgeable and so passionate about the subject.
And he actually appeared on the TV show Comic Book Men.
Nice.
Trying to sell some of his Indiana Jones merch. So that was fun to see him on that. And of course he came dressed up as Indiana Jones. So that was nice to see. Yeah, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom I like and hate at the same time. And I still find that to have like some of the best music in the series. I don't know, that one always attracts me for some weird reason because it sticks out like a sore but interesting thumb. Next was Jaws. I thought these were pretty hard to get through, aside from, like, the original.
Yeah, I mean, it is such a sharp drop-off in quality from the original to all the other movies in the series. I mean, even Michael Caine doesn't save the final one.
I kind of like Jaws 3 for the stupidness of its concept. But, yeah, I mean, the sequels are just so laborious in Lawn and the Tooth. Next, Jurassic Park.
Which this is another one that with Jurassic Park, Jurassic World coming out. This is another one we might have to do in our follow up month.
What did you think of that trailer for Jurassic World?
You know, I still haven't seen it.
Oh, okay.
I've seen footage of the aquatic creature leaping out of the giant tank, but that's all. And I've seen that shot of Chris Pratt with the baby raptors, but that's all I've seen.
Yeah, it kind of teases at the plot. I like that it's actually set at a functioning park, which we haven't had since the original film.
That's nice. It's nice to see what Jurassic Park could have been had the dinosaurs not run wild.
Exactly. The original Jurassic Park, I think, of course, is my favorite. But I like Jurassic Park 3 more than 2. Karate Kid, another early set of episodes.
Oh, yeah.
I remember this because I got fired from my day job the day we did the Karate Kid 2 episode.
Oh, I remember that.
That made for an awkward intro. these films were interesting to watch again. I don't think they all work, but having Pat Morita as Miyagi is just such a strong core. And we didn't talk about the new Karate Kid at that time because I thought it would get a sequel, and surprisingly it hadn't because it did pretty well with Jackie Chan in the Miyagi part.
Well, you know, the lore of After Earth was just too strong for Jaden Smith.
Well, and now I think he's probably too old to do another Karate Kid, but you never know.
He'd be the Karate Man.
Oh, God. Yeah, Karate Grandpa.
Actually, a Kung Fu Grandma is an actual movie.
Is it? Okay.
It's either Kung Fu Grandma or Shaolin Grandma.
The next one was voted on by our listeners as a listener choice. Kevin Smith's Viewisk Universe. This one was really a stretch.
It was very enjoyable to do, but now being so aware of Kevin Smith's work, I'm well aware of its highs and its lows. I can see the limitations of his storytelling and directing style now that I've seen so much of his work in one go.
I did like revisiting these films because I hadn't seen them in quite some time, but calling it a series, I guess they're in the same universe. I guess you can say that same thing with comparing this to, like, the Aldous Snow duology.
Well, they're united by characters, really.
Yes. Specifically Jane, Silent Bob, who pop up in all those, what was it, 6 movies, I think?
Yes.
We talked about. Next, Lethal Weapon. I'm shocked how good most of these movies are in quality across the board. It's fairly consistent, unlike, say, Die Hard.
And it's nice to see Gary Busey as a menacing villain as well.
And I love the titular Lethal Weapon theme song over the end credits of the first film.
Oh, yeah. I think that's where we started my running gag of coming up with theme songs for sequels
the title.
The name.
Right. Next is another Cascadia.fm one, Mad Max.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen all these films?
I have seen... Actually, yes, I have, but it's been so long since I've seen Mad Max specifically. I've seen Road Warrior and Beyond Thunderdome more recently. And, of course, now we have a remake coming out.
It's not a remake.
Oh, is it a straight sequel?
I don't know if it's a straight sequel, but it's not a remake. I don't know where it takes place in the chronology. Certainly Tom Hardy is a lot younger than Mel Gibson would be.
I still want him. I still imagine like him in the humongous mask. People of the wasteland, just walk away.
The actor that plays the bad guy in the new Mad Max Fury Road is the same guy that played the bad guy in the original Mad Max, Toe Cutter.
Cool.
Which is a neat touch. But the trailers for the new one look fantastic. Looks really intense and action-packed. And it's just that apocalyptic setting you don't get very often.
Not with such gusto.
The Matrix trilogy. Well, and we talked about Animatrix, of course. I found this series disappointing. Like, I liked this so much in high school and in college. And just during a rewatch, apart from the first movie, I just think it all kind of fell apart.
Yeah, I mean, it is such a shame that you start with such a revolutionary film, and then it so quickly becomes just a lukewarm rehashing of that film. Although that is in part because the film was so successful and influential, by the time the Matrix sequels came out, all of its visual styles are now old hat because it had been copied by some of the other movies.
The Animatrix, too, has some interesting things.
That's true. I did enjoy that. The sequels were worth it for the Animatrix.
Right. Men in Black,
which, as
you mentioned, we did right when Men in Black 3 came out.
Yeah, that was a series, like, it's high on both ends and very low in the middle.
Yeah, Men in Black 3 is better than it has any right to be. But, man, Men in Black 2, it doesn't cry when it rains. What's the Tommy Lee Jones line?
You don't cry when it rains. It rains because you cry.
Yeah, it's... Everyone just looks sad in Men in Black 2. Like, nobody wants to be there.
Yeah.
I got my paycheck. Can I go back to the trailer now?
No, I forget. Did we do a spinoff? Did we do a spinoff episode for that? Where we talked about the animated series and the games and whatnot?
No. Because we stopped doing the spinoff episodes after Indiana Jones, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
It was only for the first year or two that we did them.
Men in Black is a series that I think really does deserve a spinoff episode.
Hmm. Yeah, because the animated series went on for a bit. So, next was another big one, The Muppets.
Oh, I'd love doing this one.
It made me remember how many films they've done over the years. I'd kind of forgotten that.
And overall, I mean, with the exception of Muppets from Space, I mean, the quality is very high.
I have a real soft spot for Muppets Take Manhattan.
Oh,
I recognize it's not the best movie, but it's probably my favorite for nostalgic reasons. And the new Muppets was really good in it, but except that Muppets Most Wanted, which came out after we did the Muppet series of episodes, was such a big drop in quality. I was very disappointed with it.
Well, that's another one for the Roundup month.
Right. It's not awful. It's just okay. Naked Gun.
Oh, yeah.
And Leslie Nielsen, we covered him on the airplane ones earlier, and it's getting to do these again, I think, was fun.
Well, they're such funny, even at their lowest points, they're such funny movies. And they're packed with so many jokes. And it's something I love. I love a comedy that is just a joke delivery machine and doesn't get too caught up in the plot.
Right. We have National Lampoon's Vacation. We only talked about the first four films. I talked about the fifth in passing, but that fifth one,
was it Uncle
Christmas
Ernie's?
Vacation 2, Cousin Eddie's Island Adventure.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We really did gloss over that one.
It was just horrendous. But the vacation movies are fairly good in quality, and we have a new one coming out next year where Chevy Chase reprises his role, but it focuses more on his son, Rusty, which is played by Ed Helms, all grown up with a family of his own. I wonder what, like, the setting of that one is going to be, if it's just going to be a road trip, kind of like the first one, or...
Well, you know what, I would love to see, like, you know, them, like, let's visit Grandpa in his cabin, you know? Put them in, like, a great outdoors kind of setting.
Mm,
lots of opportunity
right.
for mayhem and physical comedy there.
Definitely. Next was a series of films, like, not direct sequels of each other, but related... set in the Oz universe.
Oh,
yes. Wizard of Oz, Return to Oz, and Oz the Great and Powerful.
And that was so fun, because those movies are so different from each other, despite, you know, the same source material and kind of linking together in this because of the source material they're drawn from. And that was also a unique sequel cast experience, because my wife and I had gone to the theaters to see Oz the Great and Powerful specifically. We had found the only theater in the area carrying it so we could watch it for the episode. And when we got there, that theater was being remodeled, and we ended up seeing Oblivion instead.
Now, have you seen the movie since then?
Actually, no. The only reason I was going to see it was because we were covering it for the show. Once that was gone, you know, and my desire to see it went away. And that's actually in part because I started reading the original Oz books, and I fell so in love with them that I just did not want to see a big CGI monstrosity that might ruin what it took from the source material.
Got it. Next was Planet of the Apes.
Another classic series.
That was probably the first series of episodes we did where there's a lot of movies in the series.
First mega series, yeah. We had good guests for that. The other thing I like about it is, despite the drop in quality as those films go on, these were still so fun for me to watch and to contribute to the podcast with.
Yeah, there's still things to find even in the lesser films, like, say, Battle for Planet of the Apes. And it's been real fun for me to see how these newer Planet of the Apes films have been, you know, pretty successful, and it seems like we're going to have the series going for quite some time.
It's nice to see how the property has recovered since the Burton film.
Right. Because the Burton film didn't do bad, but I wonder, like, had they done a sequel to that, if they would have literally picked it up at the ending of that one.
If only.
Yeah, that would have been something to see.
That would have been so wild.
Next, I think this one, these series of episodes were kind of disappointing, was the Police Story Jackie Chan episodes.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun to see Jackie Chan doing what he does best, but at the same time, I guess that wasn't the best series of Jackie Chan films to do. Not that he does that many series.
And it's hard when, like, a movie is just a bunch of action scenes trying to talk about it.
Yeah, like, what I kept noticing is, like, the action sequence is good, not great. The comedy, good, not great. The story is good, not great. It's a series of movies that I found to be just good, which means they're by no means bad. I wanted more. I wanted the heights to be higher.
Hmm. So, next was Rambo.
You know, I'm shocked we didn't do an episode about the animated series.
I just think they're kind of tricky to find, and then, I mean, that is just such a weird example. If you take these movies that are all pretty violent, and you make a kid's kind of G.I. Joe knockoff.
Yeah, about a jaded Vietnam veteran.
That's right. So.
Although it did give me an excuse to talk about Rambo No Blood.
That's true, and reportedly the last Rambo film, which they're working on, will be called Rambo... Final Blood.
I think last blood maybe would have been better.
But they haven't confirmed
that. Not
that
it'll necessarily stay final for long.
I don't, you know, once these guys get in their 70s, but then, you know, maybe we'll see Harrison Ford in a new Indiana Jones. Who knows?
Would love to see Stallone do like an awesome death scene for Rambo. Give him a good hero's death, maybe. Or have him die the way. Have him snap again.
Have Rambo die the way his friend in Nam died, with him exploding into pieces.
And then have Apollo Creed's son come in and put him down. Make it a crossover. Have it turn out they both take place in the same universe.
There you go. Next, Reanimator.
This was another fun one, at least for me, if only because it was so near and dear to my heart.
Yeah, you know, I actually never got to see Bride of Reanimator because the disc never came in the mail.
Really? It never showed up?
By the time it did, it was too late.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't show up in time.
I will say, Bride of Reanimator is still pretty fun. I do, if you get a chance, I do recommend just sitting down and watching it. The effects by Screaming Mad George are amazing, and the humor is pretty good.
Yeah, and the music in the films are pretty good as well. Next was Riddick.
Yeah, that's another one that we need to get caught up on.
That's right, they did another one of those. It's a lot of these now that we think of it. And yeah, these movies were fun to watch for me. It was my first time, aside from Pitch Black. I really liked that animated Riddick film. Thought that was pretty good. Next, RoboCop.
Yeah, I really, really, really want to cover this series with you at some point in the future. There's so much to talk
about. We have to figure out a way. I don't know how I do the numbering. Or I guess I could just say it's the Thrasher years, and then... And like Thrasher edition, maybe that's.
I still like. Good. I just like saying special edition or revised edition, or the next generation.
I could just have you take the exact lines that Sabrina had and just reread them, and then I dub them in. But that'd be far too much work and far too mean and unfair to her, because it was great doing the shows with her. I mean, it definitely had a different energy.
Well, actually, have you ever talked about maybe having her back to guest on another episode?
She hasn't been responsive at all, so I don't think that would ever happen. But never say never, but I don't think so.
Never say never. Actually, that's another series I think we've been meaning to do is American Tale.
There's five of those? Four. Five?
I want to say four if you count the direct-to-video ones.
Yep. RoboCop, that's another one they've been a new film of, too.
Yes.
Rocky. These were good.
Yeah, I was really surprised by how much I liked that entire series from beginning to end.
Yeah, it's solid. It's very... You get to see the characters grow over time, and they kind of comment on that.
Yeah, they really do have a nice evolution, and I'm even looking forward to Creed if they do in fact do that film. And
they're working on it right now.
Yeah,
they announced some more casting, so they should be filming it pretty soon.
Cool.
Definitely. Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh yeah, that's when we really hooked up with Mark with the C for the Shock Treatment episode.
Yeah, which that's one of his favorite movies.
Yeah, this is another one that was really fun to do.
Yeah, it was very therapeutic talking about these movies. You know, I watched them for the first time during a hard time I was having in high school, and getting to kind of revisit the movies kind of revisited those emotions, which was interesting.
Yeah, I've heard from a lot of people that the Rocky Horror Picture Show is very formative in that way for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. There's the Santa Claus we just did.
Yeah, just wrap that up.
End of 2014. Probably the most mediocre of the holiday films we've done.
Yeah.
Even Tripe, like Home Alone 3, has something that's a bit more entertaining than one of the Santa Claus films.
Yeah, I like looking back on it, I really do feel like the best part about this whole trilogy is Martin Short, and he's only in one movie.
And not for that much of the movie either, which is the sad thing. Next one was Saw. Requested by friend of the show, Ryan Haas.
Yeah, this was one that was... While I have an appreciation for these films now, this one was still very difficult for me to get through.
I liked revisiting these movies. And yet, it is a lot when you take it week after week. It does remind... Like you said, we haven't done animation a lot. We haven't done horror a lot.
Yeah, although I think that's in part because so many horror franchises just go on forever.
There's that, and there's a lot of podcasts dedicated just to horror movies, too. I mean,
so here on the sequel cast, we like to mix it up.
Yeah. I think that sometimes to our detriment as terms of listeners, because they're like, what the heck? What the fuck are you doing now, Matt? I don't know what you're doing. You're going from a kid's movie to a movie where they're chopping people's arms off. I don't get it. Smokey and the Bandit, one of our earliest episodes we did.
Yeah, first episode, Smokey and the Bandit 2, first episode I ever guested on. Smokey and the Bandit 3, I think that might have been our second sequel commentary, and that's also the only guilty pleasure movie of mine we've ever covered.
What's another guilty pleasure movie of yours?
Well, the more I think about it, that might actually be my only guilty pleasure. Like, that's the only movie that when I have to tell people that I like it, I feel like I have to explain and justify that like. And it's a terrible movie. I make no bones about it. But for some reason, I'm just delighted seeing it.
I'm surprised we haven't seen a Smokey and the Bandit remake by now.
I am, too. The more time that passes, the more it shocks me that we're not seeing another film in that series.
Before Burt Reynolds dies... That's a bit morbid. They should do another Smokey and the Bandit and have him play the Bandit.
Well, yeah, like do it like Expendables. Have him come out of retirement.
Right. Or maybe he just pops up at the end. Just like in Smokey and the Bandit 3.
Here comes a bandit out for one more ride. You know, give it that kind of theme song.
That's right. Star Trek. I like these films, but there was a hell of a lot of them. I mean, this took like... the better part of a year, it seems like.
Yeah, it's...
At least 3 months' worth of episodes.
Yeah, Star Trek for a TV... For the body of Star Trek being sort of so near and dear to me and so formative for me, it never really did hit me how many movies were in this series until we had to do it for the show. It almost broke us, I think.
Right, there's 12 damn episodes.
And I forget, did we get into the J.J. Abrams movies?
We did. We did both of those.
See, we did so much, I can't remember all of it.
It was quite light. And we did a sequel commentary for Star Trek 3, I think, in there.
Yes, we did. That was delightful.
Next, Star Wars.
This was one of our great white whales, and I'm so glad we did it.
Yeah, we had some great guests on there. And... it's fun revisiting these, and I'm just so thrilled by what we saw recently in the trailer for Star Wars Episode 7 that I hope that film delivers.
Yeah, I have a cautious optimism for that film. Although, as I said before, I think I'm going to wait and hear back from certain key people before I see that movie myself.
Right. I wonder how... coy the trailers are going to be. I think, you know, once we get that first trailer that shows the old cast, I think that'll be really special.
And I kind of hope they don't do a trailer that kind of spells out the story. I would rather just have a trailer that establishes the tone and the character and let us discover the story ourselves.
Although, man, I saw one of the first teasers for Return of the Jedi, and that's pretty awful.
Really?
Because it shows scenes from the film, but then it's like starring Mark Hamill, and it does that awful transition of like a still of Mark Hamill in costume before cutting to a brief scene from the film. It's like that joke on The Simpsons with the tacky wipes when doing editing.
Oh, yeah.
Homer Simpson gets the editing system.
Hey, why have burger when you can have steak?
That's right. Next, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
This was another fun one, if only for the nostalgia factor.
You know, I'm just so amazed. I went to the grocery store recently, and not only did you have toys from the new Ninja Turtles live-action film, you had toys for the new animated series of Nickelodeon, and you had these kind of, like, plush pillow things that looked like the cartoon from the 90s design.
Yeah, it's so strange. It's as if every version of the Turtles still exists and is still represented out there in some way.
Yeah, I mean, it was nice to see and also kind of weird because I was getting a little bit of these flashbacks. I mean, I remember buying those Ninja Turtles 2 Secret of the Ooze slime pies.
Oh, yeah.
Hostess slime pies.
Filled with mutagen goo.
Because pudding tastes better when it's green.
Which tastes like vanilla.
Yeah. Should have tasted like lime, damn it. And last but certainly not least... if we're going by alphabetical order, Toy Story.
Oh, this was another great series. And I'm so happy that's like the last one on this alphabetical list that we're covering.
Did you see they're doing a Toy Story 4?
Yes, and at this point, you know, I'm looking forward to it.
Think there's been enough of a gap?
I would say so. I mean, it's one of those things. They've kept the quality so high that I think we're still going to get a very enjoyable movie. And actually, I kind of hope Toy Story 4 is just kind of pure dessert. Although, if they can tell a really good story, so much the better.
What do you think we're going to see in Toy Story 4? You think it's going to be the toys go to Japan?
I don't think they're going to do that. I mean, obviously, it's going to have something to do with their new new environment, living with that girl and having correspondence with the preschool. The more I think about it, the more I would love it if it had something to do with, like, competition between toys and video games, especially now that we have things like Disney Infinity and Skylanders, where it combines a toy with a video game. I think that would be an interesting angle to explore. And also,
or maybe how, like, toys have, or don't seem to be more just for old collectors than for younger kids. Although I guess they kind of did that in the second one, didn't they?
Well, they addressed collectors, but it wasn't a collector that really, like, cherished the toys. I think doing a movie that maybe tied into toy collectors that actually really respect toys would be cool. Or, you know, another option, because I've actually been to a toy museum, and it was really a wonderful experience to see a museum that had toys going back like 150 years or so. It would be neat to see a movie where, like, that was kind of the end point, was the toys from Toy Stories fighting to find a place in a toy museum. And getting to see, like, you know, what are 100-year-old toys like?
Sure. So, I mean, we just ran down all the gazillion movie franchises we've done on the sequel cast in 5 years.
That is quite a list.
Isn't it?
We have a lot to be proud of.
5 years worth. A lot to be proud of, right? We didn't even mention the video game episodes, the special episodes, the commentaries. We touched on some of the commentaries, I guess. So, I mean, looking into year 6, what would you like to do? You said more animation?
Yeah, actually, the more I think about it, the more I would love to do Fritz the Cat and its little-known sequel, The Nine Lives of Fritz the Cat. Because that, actually, we keep dancing around it, but that would give us an opportunity to really talk about Ralph Bakshi. We could even do a Ralph Bakshi special episode.
That's true. I haven't seen a whole lot of Ralph Bakshi films, though.
So that is something that I would love to do next year.
I would like to see what the listeners vote on. You know, I think that's always fun when we do that once a year. And it seems like the past few times, Fast and Furious has gotten awful close. Although there's a lot of films in that series.
And we've also got a new one coming out. So if we did it, maybe we can time it right so that we can talk about the new one when it comes out at the tail end.
Right. I also wouldn't mind doing, like, Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit, since that stuff is all wrapped up.
That's true. There's a lot of material to cover there as well. Now, would you want to do it all together, or would you want to do one trilogy first and then hold off on the other trilogy for later?
I think probably hold off just to make it seem a bit more fresh. Because like you said, when the franchises get really big, there's a high possibility for getting more burned out in the series.
Yeah.
I mean, like, oh no, another Tolkien film. Yeah, can't believe it's been 5 years. Thanks, listeners, of course, for listening. And if you have any suggestions for stuff we should do in the show, let us know.
Absolutely. I mean, we love feedback. Actually, speaking of which, we had talked about this in the prep for the show. Are you interested in doing a live reading of any of the reviews that have been posted?
Sure. Let me pull up iTunes here. I will post stuff in the chat window. Hold on. Talk about something, Thrasher, while I look this up.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, this is actually something we had talked about. I wanted to initially steal a bit from, they used to do in the Todd Glass Show, he used to sing negative podcast reviews and negative emails he got. And I kind of wanted to do the same thing, except I realized I don't play an instrument that doesn't involve blowing into it, so I couldn't sing and play music at the same time. So that kind of dashed that hope. But I don't know. I like the idea of taking other people's negativity and turning it around into something beautiful and silly, if at all possible.
So I can't copy and paste this stuff.
Well, could you just send me a link?
I don't know how to.
You can look up. Here we go. There is a. You can actually look up on iTunes. Here we go. I've got 3 iTunes reviews.
There should be 4 on there.
The webpage I found only has 3 posted. Let me see if I can get...
I see 2 from 2011, 1 from 2012, and 1 from 2014.
Oh. Well, actually, maybe I should just open... I'll open iTunes myself and go to... It's been so long, despite the fact that I use a Mac, I don't think I've opened iTunes in 2 months.
Okay, well, I'll read the first 2 reviews as a dramatic reading.
All right.
And then Thrasher will do the last 2. One from Angel SF. Crappy mic quality, lame opening song, and really odd comedy style, but entertaining and fun, like watching and talking about movies with friends. Cool podcast, recommend. I loved the Batman series. And that was from way back in February 2011. In December 2011, we have Andrew Camara, who actually lives here in Portland, did a review, said... Fun podcast. I have been listening to this podcast for a while now. I love this show. I love the opening, even though it's kind of cheesy. I should mention as an aside here, he's talking about the theme song we originally did.
Maybe we should...
the vocals instead of the, it's not the Mark with the C version.
Maybe we should reprise that at the end of this as a little treat for the fans.
I think that'd be good. I enjoy their talks about movies and TV series. I like the new part where they make an alternate ending to movies they have watched. Overall, I'm happy with this show. Do you pull up the thing on iTunes for you?
I found 6 reviews.
6?
Well, I've set those 6 ratings, but only 4 reviews.
I see. So I read the first 2 reviews. Why don't you read the last 2?
Alrighty. So, from Miss Panda B, from March 17th, 2012. Love this podcast. No capitalization, but a nice exclamation point. And then from Tyler Bronson, and I'm going to read this in a Bronson voice. I listen to other movie podcasts, and few of them are able to look at movies in an interesting yet pseudo-critical manner. In other words, enjoy movies and take them for what they are while acknowledging flaws. They're entertaining and knowledgeable. They keep things fun and light. I recommend this podcast along with a podcast and a movie and the greatest movie ever podcast. Stay away from podcasts like Now Playing. They are caught up in their own pretentiousness and exclusive reviews where you have to donate money to them. Pally. The Pally was
available
for Flourish.
Yeah, I don't think his dig on the other podcasts are exactly fair, but I mean, I like both those shows, but...
supposed to be about us.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Never mind then.
But it's nice to see a positive review that's in depth.
That's true, right? Because most of these are pretty small.
Yeah, and actually, one thing that I wanted to one review I wanted to read, there was like a 2-star review that I think was before we did the SequelCast network. Back when it was just the base SequelCast feed, there was like a two-star review.
That's
like
pretty good.
One host seems sleepy, the other host seems into it.
Yeah. Seems sleepy and sounds like a robot, and the other one is really into it. That's one of my favorites. I like that one a lot.
Yeah. It's lost to the sands of time now.
So, I think that about wraps it up. We've done a good job reviewing our legacy, or whatever you want to call it, over the past 5 years.
Indeed. And you know, I hope you've all enjoyed it. And as I said, we're halfway there.
What happens after 5 more years?
We will all
double
have been
digits.
Driven insane, and then we'll come up with some new podcast, maybe. Or maybe that will turn out to be the halfway point. Who knows? Maybe we can go for a record for longest continuous podcast.
I don't think I'd want that. But, I mean, I like doing the sequel cast, but I don't want to be doing this forever. I think everything has its time and place.
Indeed, indeed.
You don't want to be a couple of like crotchety old men. Brr! Oh, the sequel, Star Wars 99, isn't as good as Star Wars 77.
Star Wars? More like Star Bores! Oh, ho, 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 ho!
And let's end this, as you suggested, with a recording of the classic sequel cast theme song we had for the first year or two.
Indeed,
indeed. Before we have our much better ballad performed by Mark with a C.
Now, normally I do the backing and you do the vocals. Do you want to continue that tradition or do you want to switch it up?
Nope, let's switch. Do you remember what the old lyrics were?
Indeed, I do.
Okay, here we go. Boop-a-doop-a-doop-a-doop-a-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
There was a podcast called The Sequel Cast that talked about movies. And they also talked about something else called boobies. Sequel Cast. Oh, they're The Sequel Cast. Oh, yeah, The Sequel Cast. www.sequelcast.com.
That's proof I can't keep tempo for a solid minute.
It was delightful, though. I mean, it was fun how thrown together that was.
Definitely. You know, I recall one early job I had after starting the podcast. I tried to get a coworker to listen to it, and he listened to it an episode with speakers in his office, and he had the volume up blasting.
Wow!
So I heard the old theme song blasting. Well, not the Mark with the C one, I want to make clear. Yeah. And I quickly got embarrassed, and he quickly shut the podcast off.
Yeah, I'm happy. I love the Mark with the C theme.
Me too. It's great.
But the old...
All three of them.
The classic theme song, really, it was the theme song that we needed when we needed it.
Yes. It's totally the opposite of what people recommend you do, is to get a professional to do it.
Oh, you know what? No one's ever heard... the video game sequel cast theme that I composed, because we have yet to find anybody who will do the guitar backing for it. Maybe that would be a fun thing to add at the end of this, maybe, that temp track that I assembled.
I will throw that on to round out this episode.
From a quarter-fed arcade machine to the latest next-gen systems, many video games have come and gone, and I hope you haven't missed them. And if you played them all, I hope that you have had a blast. Now get ready to explore them with the hosts of Sequel Cast, deconstructing World of Warcraft, racking up the highest score, digging deep into Tomb Raider until we can't dig no more, commiserating over Metroid, deliberating God of War, confabulating about Halo until our thumbs and throats are sore. So if a Day of the Tentacle is your final fantasy, Player One and Player Two would like to share your company. From virtual realities to the distant 8-bit past, every franchise gets examined on the Gaming Sequel Cast.
The temp track to Video Game Sequel Cast. And I'll also throw on my temp track. I also did a temp track for a Video Game Sequel Cast theme song.
Oh, cool. I've never heard that.
That's really ridiculous. So... Mario and Luigi are plumbers to the end. And Sonic the Hedgehog has tails as his friend. The fantasy may not be final, but even fantasies have a start. It's the Video Game Sequel Cast. Looks at game franchises from 8 to 16 to 32 to 64-bit. Sometimes video games can hold surprises, and sometimes they're just shit. Listen to Player One and Player Two talk about video games with me and you. It's the Video Game Sequel Cast right now. That'll be, it's a fun way to pull us out, so... Not pull us out, to close out the episode. Again, thanks so much, listeners, for all the 5 years you've been listening, and hope you've enjoyed the at this point, literally hundreds of episodes we've been doing, over 250 altogether if you count between the sequel cast special, and
sequel commentary.
Video game sequel cast series, sequel commentary, of course, series we've done. Facebook, facebook.com/sequelcast, the website, sequelcast.com, to get all the old episodes. And
you can
follow me on Twitter at sequelcast.
You can follow me at Internet Mayor, as always.
So for the sequel cast special, this is Matt.
And this is Thrasher.
Saying
flibbity whim wham woo.
It goes down easy and it comes up breezy.
This is still fun. We're going to keep doing this.
Sequelcast Special is a Hipster Goblin production.